Expobomb, and we're here to make you think about death and get sad and stuff.
Voices, animal voices, the tremor of cold, the feminine abyss, and reaching my threshold, staring at the truth till I'm blind.
Hello! Good evening, good morning, good afternoon, whatever the hell time it is, wherever you are, however you are, however you actually achieve time, you know, it's many dynamics and perspectives and all those other things that goes, ooh. Tonight on the show, we have the wonderful and talented and very brightly haired, green-haired individual, Lizdom, coming to join us and talk about stuff. Hi, Liz, how's it going?
Hi, Zombie Zach, I'm great. How are you?
I'm always amazing. Do you still have green hair?
I do. That's my signature hair color. It's become so normal that it's natural to me.
Now, what color do you call it? Like radioactive trioxin green?
Oh, I've never thought to call it that. Actually, I have to use 3 different hair products to get the shade that I want.
Okay.
So I would say the closest color would be emerald.
Ah, Like the wizard, wicked witch of the whatever, and had the emerald islands or whatever.
Exactly.
Well, Emerald City.
Emerald City. I could technically be the wicked witch of the West. However, I do not wear ruby slippers, so I'm at no risk of a house falling on me.
Well, you know, it is 2020. There's still options available.
Oh crap! That's true.
Yeah. Sorry.
We've already had murder hornets.
Yeah, but then they've gone away.
True. This is very true.
See, nobody hears anything about them anymore. Oh, wait. No, I did hear something about them a little while ago. They found a nest in California, and they were trying to exterminate the crap out of it. So they were going to burn, smoke, and everything, that one little thing it was, whatever it was.
Oh, my gosh. And then I heard about giant spiders, I think somewhere in Baltimore. I'm not even kidding. We've had aliens. I don't know. I feel like I should be playing Wheel of Fortune for what disaster is going to happen next.
Well, that is a fairly common and popular meme going on the Facebook for the last 3 months now. Hey, which one did you have? I had mummified scarabs from the undead tombs of Tuktoyaktuk. Actually, that's not it, but I meant Anuk Suleiman from the movie.
Oh, yeah. I'm still pushing for the Sharknado. I think that should be a thing.
Well, it's not technically scientifically, because I actually looked at science on that one. It's like, there's no way.
Oh.
They'd be all dead.
Okay. Yeah, there's no way. They couldn't breathe.
Yes. But if you like Sharknado, just so you know, there was a spin-off series of movies called Lava Tarantulas.
Oh my God, that's great.
Yes. So, fun story. Steve Guttenberg was originally approached to play the lead in Sharknado. He turned it down. Okay. He completely didn't like the idea. It's like, okay, whatever. And then, so after the popularity of Ian Ziering being it, they approached him again. It's like, we have another spinoff going on. It's called Lavantula. He said, yes, sign me up right now. Yeah, good. I'll go. They're funny and stupid, but hilarious. But enough about stuff I enjoy. Tell us a little bit about Crap Nation.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so for those of you who do not know, Crap Nation is an independent zine, which is short for magazine, run by 3 women, Tina Six, Jen Twa, and myself. We're now in year 3, and it's the sort of thing where some people will remember back in the 90s that people really went to self-press. They would Xerox or photocopy different sheets and make little magazines about subculture. For us, we kind of, it came about 3 years ago because the 3 of us were missing having a subculture. We found that there wasn't really, we were lacking a community, and we wanted to bring that kind of magic back where, you know, we would have a zine launch and the only way you could get the zine was to come out to the launch where we would have bands play. And we would introduce a lot of bands that people had never heard before. And it really became a happening by the time the pandemic came about. So it's the sort of thing where if you want to get an issue, you have to come out to the launch. Now, because of the pandemic, that's no longer possible. We have it available on Etsy, and you can find all of our information on Crap Nation on Facebook. But because of the pandemic as well, we've actually started doing an online television show called Crap Nation TV. We just had our inaugural premiere episode for Halloween called Halloweeny, and we're working on our Christmas special for December 19th, which we'll keep you posted about.
I saw that one.
It was so much fun. The Halloweeny streamy.
And
we were
really, all the fun.
We were really lucky. Oh my gosh, we were so fortunate. We got Max Explosion from Blood Opera to co-host it with us. I got to do an interview with The Electric Dead, another one of my favorite bands. And it was just a lot of fun and ridiculousness and a really good time.
So a lot of the impressions I've had on the whole Crap Nation thing, because I see your Facebook posts all the time. It's like, hey, I like all this stuff because it's like it's kooky and crazy and whatever. Is a very strong punk feel to it.
Absolutely. You know, we're very much about being inclusive with subcultures. I think punk is, it can be very broad in range. And it's the sort of thing, again, where we want everyone to come to the table feeling included and welcome and just be your freaky self. Just do your thing.
Freaky self. Woo.
Yeah, just our only request is just don't be a jerk. That's all.
Yeah. Respect everybody else's choices and let them do.
Absolutely. You know, it's something that we need more than ever. You know, we need more kindness and we need more acceptance of who you are.
Oh, wait, what if I'm multiples?
Oh, you know what? I'm totally fine with that. It can be a little confusing if your personalities change, but just, you know, switch up your chest label and I'll make sure that all the pronouns are there.
Oh, I don't worry about pronouns. They're superfluous.
Well, you're a zombie, are you not?
I'm many zombies.
How many zombies are you?
at least three that I know of.
Okay, and do all of you like cookies?
Yeah.
Okay, good to know. I just want to make sure I'm prepared for, you know, the next time I see you.
I'll give you a fun fact. When I came out with my first book, I actually included, when everybody bought it from me directly, a certificate of protection from the zombie apocalypse, so long as they gave me a cookie.
Oh, I love that.
Yes, that was my big marketing thing that I did on that release. And it's like, well, I came home with about 20 pounds of cookies because people didn't give me just one. They brought me a bag of cookies. And it's like, oh, you're lovely people. I can't eat all of these. Canada Customs had a bit of a shit on that one. It's like, what's with all these?
Oh.
And I had to explain. And it was funny. But
you know,
whatever.
Going through customs is hard enough. When you are a very unique individual, it's even harder.
Yes.
I find either they find it very amusing or all of a sudden you're in interrogation explaining your life's choices.
I was in not interrogation. I was drive over to that side over there, sir. It's like, why?
Okay.
It's just, you've been selected. It's like, oh. And then I found it later. It's because I was coming from a horror convention and they were looking for pornography. It's like,
really?
That's neat. Don't you realize this is about 10, 11 years ago? There's the internet. If I hadn't wanted it, I would have downloaded it and not even had to worry about that.
Oh, that's so funny. Wow.
But they're really looking for the bad kinds of that. You know, the stuff that takes advantage of children, people who are not of their choices, etc. And it's like, I approve of all this. Get those people because they suck.
Absolutely. Oh, my gosh. There is a special place in hell for people like that.
Abso-freaking-tutely.
Darn right. Speaking of hell, I'm kidding.
Yes.
I was going back through some memories today and I was trying to remember exactly how I met you. And then I found a photograph of a compilation book that we were both in called Group Hex 1, Volume 1 with the Great Lakes Horror Company.
See, that's in my notes as well.
I'm pretty sure that's how I met you.
Yes, that is how you met me. Because you did the picture apparently for my poem that was in that book.
That's right. Was it the one with the jack-o'-lantern with a smoking gun?
The funny thing is before the show, I went looking for a copy of the book, and for the life of me, I can't find my copy of it. And I know I have a copy of it because I keep a copy of everything I'm in because I'm just like kooky that way, which I think most people are like that.
Yep.
But I think it was a zombie picture of some sort.
That's entirely possible as well. Yeah, it must have been the jack-o'-lantern with the smoking gun. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. That sounds about right.
I couldn't find my copy today either. It's disappeared somewhere. I know.
Oh, no, it's probably in a box I've put somewhere where it's, because in the last couple of months, I've been doing some redecorating my office and stuff. And it's like, I just put stuff in boxes, throw it aside, and then I come back. Oh, look, that's where that was, and put it back out.
Yeah, sometimes I'll do the smart thing and put something away for safekeeping, and then I won't see it ever again.
Yes, I have a couple of things like that. I still can't find this. I have a Bitcoin somewhere. It's not a real Bitcoin worth $16,000 or whatever. It's just a physical representation of a Bitcoin. I have no idea where I put it.
Oh, man. Did you try your piggy bank?
Which one?
Oh,
I actually went out of my way to get a zombie head piggy bank. And it's like, I love this thing. I don't put anything in it.
Please tell me that when you're putting quarters in, you go, change. Or at least I hope you will now.
I will now. But I do have the t-shirt of Barack Obama when he was being president or whatever. And they have that, I can't remember the style of the artwork. But it's like, we can change into a zombified version of Obama.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
Yeah.
You know, Obama will always be my president forevermore.
I liked him. He was a cool dude.
Yeah, well, that's what I liked about him. He was cool, you know? Like, he was never a jerk. You never read about him in the papers being an idiot, you know?
Yeah. And I feel like everything he ever said was always about trying to help people.
Yep. Absolutely, you know. So
we won't talk too much about politics tonight on the American side of things, because that's enough of a ball of orange wax to deal with for other people.
I don't typically tend to go near politics either. Just I really love Barack Obama, so I just talk about him all the time.
Well, funny fact. He's in a comic book edition of Amazing Spider-Man. I can't remember which issue. But they went into 5 reprints on it, so that's kind of impressive. But yeah, he's on the cover being saved by Spider-Man.
Oh, cool. That is very cool.
I have a copy of that somewhere in my collection. I don't know where.
Mysterion in the next room just said, that is correct.
There you go, see? Of course he knows. He follows some of that stuff.
Absolutely. Speaking of Mysterion, actually, I'm so excited to tell you about this. We are working with the Virtual Forum Theater out in BC, producing a show called The Haunting of Leanne. It's going to premiere tomorrow night. And what's so special about this show is that Leanne is a haunted doll, and she has been a real handful while we've been putting together this this particular production. We've been experiencing more paranormal activity in our house than normal, and our house is haunted, but it's been hourly what's been going on. We've had everything from lights flickering to things flinging off the shelves.
It wasn't me.
No, it wasn't you. I can definitely attest to that. We just shot a small commercial earlier, and this black shadow walked in front of the camera.
Well, that might have been me.
Maybe, but I am pretty sure you did not turn on my laptop at 3 a.m., boot it up with the lid still down, and start playing a video at full volume to wake us up.
No comment.
I am pretty sure that was Leanne. But it's a really great show. I'm so proud of it. I'm producing it. I've learned how to use Zoom, Manycam, a whole bunch of other streaming programs to make this show possible. And I really want everyone to check it out, because Mysterion's amazing. I'm doing my best to play catch up and be amazing as well. It's at eshowticket.com. Please come check us out tomorrow night. The show's at 10 p.m. The Virtual Forum Theater is amazing, and we just want you all to check it out. It's so cool, and it's scary.
Good and important point, the tomorrow night part, because I was going to say, how are you going from this show straight to that right off the bat? It's like, what? That would have been amazing.
Well, that's the thing. I've really had to learn how to switch gears, because I was in a production meeting for this show just before I hopped on this podcast. You know, with this pandemic, I've really had to learn how to juggle a lot of different plates at once and just kind of suck it up and go forward, you know? There's no real break right now, but I'm not upset about it. I love it.
Isn't multitasking fun?
And it is, actually.
for anybody who's interested, oh, we do have a couple people in the chat room. Excellent. More people in the chat room can actually communicate to us, and we can communicate back at them.
Cool. Hi, everybody. Well, the really neat thing about multitasking is that you can kind of, you can daydream about something that you want to do while doing other important things that require your concentration.
Or you can also do social media activity while you're on a live show and say, hey, come on in and check the show out.
That is also true.
Which is what I've been doing for the last 5-10 minutes. Because that's what I do.
I had no idea. I had no idea you were doing that. So seamless.
Yeah, well, you know, it's good. You get guests on that can actually talk and discuss things intellectually without having to be prompted. And I was like, hey, say something about something. It's like, just say stuff.
Thank you. Well, I'm either very quiet or you cannot shut me up. I'm literally that person you need to take the cane and pull off the stage.
Nice.
I just love it. I love it. And you're so easy to talk to. Thank you so much for having me. Like, this is so much fun.
Hey, like I've been trying to tell a lot of people, I one of my goals on this show is to actually bring different people in on different kinds of aspects of stuff. And it's not about like the traditional interview. Oh my goodness. Hey, what did you do this? Where have you got your inspiration for doing this? I just want to have a conversation and chat with people. It's kind of things like, hey, let's talk about this and talk about that and talk about this. And by the way, what's your favorite kind of cookies?
Right. Oh, you know what? My favorite kind of cookie right now is Oreo.
Which ones?
Yeah, I love Oreos. You know what? Just the classic Oreo. But I mean, okay. I've yet to meet an Oreo that I don't like. I would never turn my nose up at it, but oh, Oreos are delicious. I love them.
I have come across one that I would turn my nose up at. It had some weird taste. It was from Japan or something like that. And it's like, I think it had some kind of fish taste to it. It's like, I ain't touching that after I tasted the one.
Oh, no. Oh, dear. Yeah, no, like, I wouldn't.
No.
No. No. That's not good. Actually, I have recently been turned on to searching for fake Oreos. It's like,
oh
no, seriously, you go to Dollarama and you find something called Biscuit, and it looks like an Oreo, but it's not an Oreo.
And every grocery store has their own no-name version of it.
Absolutely. And for whatever reason, I have learned, because this is something that my boyfriend and his best friend do all the time, I have adopted this joy of eating fake Oreos, because it's just stupid. It's stupid and fun. I love it.
Well, I'll introduce you to another cookie if you haven't had it before. And this is because we're talking about the packaged cookies as opposed to somebody making homemade chocolate chip or whatever. Fudgios.
Oh, I love Fudgios.
Excellent. Because that is my favoriteest cookie of the whole wide world.
Fun story about Fudgios. This is a great story. Oh my God. Okay. So 2 years ago, I had just had an edible. I just, you know, I was like, oh, it's Thursday night. I've done my work.
Well, for those of you who are American in some states, this is legal here in Canada.
So this is where it gets really funny. I had just bought a tray of Fudgios on sale at Shoppers Drug Mart. And without thinking, I start eating it and I'm like, oh man, I could really go for some cookies right now. And I look down, I'm like, I've eaten half the tray. I'm eating a cookie right now, craving a cookie. I'm like, what the hell is going on with me? And then I get an email saying that Monkey from the Addicts is waiting for my interview. And I'm thinking, oh my God, I'm so high. I am so glad I wrote that interview in advance. And I have just enough wherewithal to email this to him. Oh my God. So the moral of the story is, luck favors the prepared. And eat half the edible and see how you feel. Otherwise, you eat the whole tray of cookies.
Yes. I've heard that. I have never indulged myself. But again, as with any food thing, always taste the taste before you dive in.
Oh, yeah. Take your time with it. Because with edibles, you know, it's just, once you've gone too far, you just got to ride the ride, you know? And, I mean, they're lovely, but if you do eat too much, you can get a little bit psychedelic. So, take a bite, see how you
feel.
Look
at all the pretty colors.
Yeah, trust me. I remember
I don't need those to do that.
No, I remember I made a batch of brownies a couple of years ago and, I licked the batter and I couldn't feel my face.
Sorry, I had to giggle.
I was like, okay. I'm going to make very small squares and tell people to take a bite and see how they feel.
See, this is the thing. I've never truly tried to experiment with it because I always know I'm going to either become extremely morose or extremely manic. And I know I have no middle ground on that.
Mm. Okay, maybe that's not the thing for you then. You got to find the thing that just makes you holly jolly, silly, goofy, you know?
Just being alive does that.
Man, I'm jealous. I wish that was just enough for me sometimes.
Well, that and the gallons of Coca-Cola I drink through the day, which I've been pulling back on, but whatever.
No, I get it. You know what? I like a Coke Zero with lunch. You know, it's just a little pick-me-up. You know, I just go for it. But back to the edibles. If you find that if you find the THC count is too much, we have recently discovered that CBD oil with a very low THC is good times because you feel mellow, but you don't feel all the crazy effects that you would with marijuana, and you just it's a nice happy buzz. I can't say enough about it.
Okay, I'll take your word for it on that.
I'm trying to think what else I want to talk to you about.
Dr. M's Mad Mausoleum.
Yeah, I love Dr. M's Mad Mausoleum. Okay, so for those of you who don't know what it is. I just love the name. Isn't it a great name?
That's a good name.
Actually, it's Mysterion's brainchild. We were right in the heart of the pandemic, and we were like, what the hell are we going to do with ourselves? And before I know it, we were turning our kitchen into a set. Because we really love the hilarious House of Frightenstein. And we thought, well, why don't we make a horror host show? You know, we can do it in our kitchen. We've got the time. We can make it, you know, we can make the production value as cheesy and fun as possible. And we started making horror host shows. And I became a character called the Toilet Paper Mummy. However, I look it's
that's
hilarious.
Good.
It gets
I like that.
Better. But the way I look more like the Bride of Frankenstein because we were rationed with our toilet paper, so I only made two stripes with the toilet paper. So it kind of became an oxymoron of some sort. Like, what kind of toilet paper mummy are you? I'm like, we're rationed. Like, what are you going to do?
Well, yeah.
And so we would shoot our show socially distanced, 6 feet below as opposed to 6 feet apart.
Nice.
So we always knew that our show would last as long as lockdown did. And then it ended, so the show ended. But then we did a Halloween-y special. And again, because our house is haunted, before we started shooting, I kind of walked around the room and just kind of said to the ghosts, I know everybody wants to be part of the show, but if you could just not fuck with my technology, you're more than welcome to show up. Just behave. So I did this this soliloquy like Vincent Price used to do, where he read a poem dry for the first time, one-shot deal, and I had a little lampfish with me, and I read the poem, and when I finished, I turned to the lampfish, and I said, how is that, Vincent? And he nods his head. And I kid you not, when you go back and watch it, you see this huge orb pass right in front of us.
Cool.
And I'm sitting in front of an autographed photo of Vincent Price while I'm shooting this. So I cannot confirm or deny if that was him, but the timing was just so, so ideal.
Vincent Price is the dude. We did like him a lot. Dude.
And, you know, I'm really happy to say that Mitch Markowitz, who, you know, is from the hilarious House of Frightenstein, he really likes what we're doing and sent a little video to Mysterion. You can see all of it on YouTube if you go to Dr. M's Mad Mausoleum. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of fun things for it in the future. We're probably going to be doing a Christmas special for that as well. And, you know, it's just we did this one episode where we had wrestlers send in different clips. Oh, my God, it was so much fun. We had Brutus Beefcake. It was so cool. We had
he was at Fan Expo a couple of years ago, wasn't he?
I think so.
They had that whole thing where they were doing the breaking tables thing record.
Maybe.
Yeah, because I was looking at old videos and pictures and stuff, and I happened to come across that. It's like, wait, shit, I remember this. I videotaped that.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to remember. I honestly can't remember, but I know in this episode we had the hurricane. We had, all of a sudden I'm just drawing a blank. We had Papa Shango in this. It was crazy. Like, it was just such a crazy wrestling episode. And we did a bit like Bobby Heenan and Gorilla Monsoon at the end. where I'm holding a banana, of course, and it was just so silly. It was fun. And then I did a lip sync to Real American that I re-sang about COVID very badly.
Nice.
Like karaoke. It's just ridiculous. It's good fun. If you're looking for a laugh and want to laugh with us or at us, I highly recommend you watch it. It's stupid. They're about 20 minutes long each episode, but they're so much fun. And it was something that we really enjoyed doing during quarantine, and hope that, you know, you would enjoy it too.
Well, that's the way you should be doing any kind of entertainment product activity thing and whatever, right?
Absolutely. Oh my gosh. It's the most fun. Absolutely. We have a good laugh every time we do it.
So I'm just trying to remember a name, and it's bugging the crap out of me because I hate when I can't remember a thing. Relation to the hilarious House of Frightenstein, because I had somebody from there on my show once, and I have to pull it up to make sure I'm talking the right person's name, because who wants to say the wrong name, right?
I totally get that. I'm the worst for names sometimes.
Well, trying to pronounce some people's names is awesome too.
Oh yeah. Oh my goodness. My birth name is French, and it's never,
see,
ever said.
And that's what I was going to go with.
I know.
Cause it was like either going to be Savoy or Savoy. And I couldn't get it. Which one was right?
I was going to say, humor me and say it. Actually, I get a lot of things like De Suave, De Savage, De Savoir. Like, I'm like, people, have you never seen a vowel before? Like, come on.
Apparently
like,
not.
Would you believe that it is actually pronounced De Savoie? And
one of my thoughts in my head.
I know, it's so very snobby, but that's actually how it's said. And a little fun fact about my last name, it's a small D-E because we were actually situated at the King's Table in Versailles. And when the French Revolution came, we eliminated the D-E from our name to save our heads. And my uncle, seriously, we got rid of the D-E because we wanted to save our heads. We lost all our land. We lost our title.
Saving the heads is a good thing.
It is a very good thing. You know, my head will be going into Mysterion's museum much later. But he says it's going to kick it like a soccer ball first. But I digress.
Do you know that's how polo started?
Is that how polo started?
Oh. Yeah. They used to capture the heads of the opposing side, and they wrap it up in burlap and whatever. And that was the ball that they were playing with.
Wow. Humans, man. We're
just a wee bit macabre, right?
We're so classy.
Well, okay, you know what, so I didn't interview him on my show, but I did interview him on the podcast for the Great Lakes Horror. They had a podcast going as well, but I interviewed Mitch Markowitz as well.
Very cool. He is a really nice guy. I met him a few years ago at Sellers Books. He is just marvelous. Absolutely marvelous, man.
And he told me one of the coolest things about Hilarious House of Frightenstein. So you know the werewolf guy doing his little dance thing, and you got that trippy blah thing in the background?
Yeah.
Completely happened by accident when the one cameraman was not paying attention to his camera, and the camera fell down and started videotaping one of the monitors, and that's how that effect started.
Oh, it's so wild. I always thought
they kept it.
That's so, I loved it. When I grew up, I only had a black and white television, so that's how I used to watch it. So it was pretty then. I only just recently started seeing it in color, and it's even trippier.
Oh, it's totally a trippier. I've got the whole thing on DVD, and I watched it every once in a while. I was like, this shit's funny. The whole thing with Vincent Price on that show, that was all done in one weekend. Every single bit
wild?
That he was done.
Well, and that's a testament to his acting caliber. You know, the
Absolutely.
Fact that he read each soliloquy the first time, just bang, one take wonder, one take wonder, one take wonder. You know, he was my very first boyfriend. I loved him so much.
Well, I've always been a fan. I never consider myself in a love type thing, but that's just because I'm creepy zombie guy and I don't do that. But it's
okay. It's absolutely okay.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
So, speaking of COVID, and the wonderful world of what the hell do we do now? So I know that you guys have been staying in most of the time during the lockdown period, and you kind of basically kept like, I'm not doing that stuff out there because that stuff's crazy. That's the right answer. So what else do you do for fun?
Well, and it's funny. My version of fun is everybody else's version of work. I've had a few other things that I'm doing right now. I'm in the process of getting distribution for a children's book that I've worked on with Andrew from the Great Lakes Horror Company and Dennis. So
Andrew, awesome.
Andrew is very awesome. I can't talk about it too much, but it's been in the works for a while. So we're getting that ready. I also just recently started a flash art partnership with Squid Ink's Tattoos in Toronto. So the way it works is you purchase one of my flash arts and she inks it in you. And if you really like what you see at the Lisdom Planet Lisdom page, you can find her at info@squidinks.com because it's a really great partnership because the sort of flash that I'm offering is not your traditional tattoo style. It's Lisdom style. But it's so all
describe like, a little bit of Lisdom style.
So Lisdom style is very comic book art meets graffiti art style with a bit of tattoo flash inspiration. It's very whimsical. The subject matter can often be very creepy. I did the mural for Disgraceland actually, where I did the stairwell going downstairs into the basement as a social commentary on the oceans being poisoned. And unfortunately, you probably won't ever get to see it now that it's been shut down. The landlord actually locked the
door out. Yeah, I heard about that.
And put up a friendly sign. I've been back and forth with the local MPPs in the city, the mayor. I reached out to the premier, all kinds of media. And it looks like there's nothing that I can do on my end. He's going to be in a long court battle with his landlord, I think. I mean, again, he can really speak to it. But the truth of the matter is you can't see it in person. And it's something that I've had to accept as being out of my control. As an artist, when you paint something on a wall in a public space, even a business, it is no longer yours once you are finished. You know.
Yep, indeed.
You know, which is it's kind of a bitter pill to swallow, but at the end of the day, it is what it is. You know, I'm more concerned for the owner. He did put a lot of his life into it, so I've just been doing a little bit of time trying to help him with that. And I mean, I think the most fun thing that I've done that has nothing to do with work is enjoying our new Fire Stick, where we've, you know, gone into the wonderful world of Netflix and Amazon Prime. And watching The Boys season 1 and 2, and it's amazing. Oh my gosh.
Have you finished the whole thing?
Yes, it's so good. And we're right into the Mandalorian.
Oh my God, it was awesome.
Oh my gosh, The Boys really caught me by surprise. Like every single episode, I was like, I can't believe I'm watching this. What the hell? These guys are such assholes. But I mean, it makes sense.
They nailed it. They nailed the spirit of the comic, even though they changed a lot of the aspects, but it's awesomely well done.
I was very, very impressed. I actually haven't had the opportunity to read the comics, but I imagine that if superheroes did actually exist, this is probably how fallible they would be, you know?
Yep. Now, did you recognize Roy Thompson Hall?
I did. Oh my God. We had a laugh every single time. I'm like, that's Roy Thompson Hall. They just added
every single time.
Oh my God. Well, we would be watching. We're like, Hamilton, Toronto.
Yeah.
You know, to the point where, you know, again, Mr. Aaron, he knows every single street. He is a walking Pearlie's map. He would just point out the street and know exactly where the cross section was. It was wild.
So he's enjoyed Scott Pilgrim versus the World then?
I don't know. Did you ever see it, honey?
Yeah, they wrote something about that. I don't remember what it was, but they had some character that was loosely based on
him. Okay, apparently they had some character that was loosely based on him in the comic book. Yeah, I don't know.
Cool.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
Well, that whole movie was filmed in Toronto. And it's like, that was the area that I used to grew up at. And the one scene where they're in the record store in that movie was Woolworths when I started working. And then it became Sonic Boom. And it's like, I recommend everything in that movie and around that area. They also did scenes from Casa Loma there as well.
Very cool. Yeah. That's true. I remember for me, seeing Dufferin Mall was very exciting. I was just like, it's the Duff! It's the Dirty Duff!
Yeah, they don't call it that anymore still, do they?
No, well, from what I understand, Dufferin Mall was taken over by Cadillac Fairview, so they've...
Yeah, it was cleaned up.
Yeah, they've cleaned it up a little bit, but, I mean, it has its moments still where you're like, yeah, that's a Duff.
Oh, I haven't been in a Dufferin Mall in, like, 20 years, something like...
Oh, yeah, it's cleaned up a lot, but, I mean, there's still quite a few characters that come in there.
Cool.
You know, like... Some things you just can't unsee, you know?
So, I did a little bit of looking up of some of your artwork, and I got the general impression of bright neon colors a lot.
I do, you know, and it's funny. I would technically qualify as a goth, but I actually do love bright color, and I find neon colors really kind of disturb your eyes and catch you. Like, I like to slap people in the face with colors. I think it's because of... I've had a longstanding love affair with Day of the Dead Sugar Skulls, and I find the brighter the colors, the happier it makes me. And I, you know, I have a very intimate relationship with the whole notion of, you know, honoring, you know, dead relatives and long departed people that you care about. So for me, when I use those bright colors, it's kind of hearkening back to that.
So you like the movie Coco then?
You know what? I haven't had a chance to watch it. I know I'm going to have such an ugly cry that I will get a migraine. I've been warned by so many people.
You will.
I'm such a softie. Like, I didn't even make it through the first 5 minutes of Up. I literally turned off the DVD and said, damn you, Disney, and walked out of the room in heaping sobs. Like, I have not watched that movie,
so I can't say.
I think it's probably very much like Coco, and I will watch it at some point, but... I need like a good day or two to recover because I know I will be bawling my eyes out.
I got tricked into that one because I like the animation style. It's like, oh, this looks cool. And it's dead things. Oh, okay, great. And then I watched it's like, oh, emotional stuff. Great. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Was okay, Coco I got it. Pixar? It's fine.
I believe so.
Yeah, because Pixar, they are really good at sucking you in.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Toy Story right near the end, again, I was bawling my eyes out. I was like, what the hell's going on? This isn't real.
Yeah, no, it's like the whole idea between characters is story and the connection, and that's the good writing.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's what it's about.
Well, you know when you're ugly crying so bad that you're looking around to make sure nobody else sees how stupid you look, and then you start laughing because you're crying so bad?
And you're like, no, I can't say as I do.
I've had a few moments like that where I'm watching a really good film and I'm bawling my eyes out and I can't believe that I'm so invested. Like the pathos has me so hard that I just, you know, it's almost comical the way you're laughing and crying at the same time.
But that's the whole point of good story. Yeah.
True. It's true, you know?
Okay. Absolutely. So you like horror stuff, right?
I love horror. I really do.
So what's some of your favorite other horror at the moment?
Well, I'm revisiting my love of Dario Argento again. I always loved
I love him.
Oh my God, it's so good. I love Italian horror. I love when it's over the top with its special effects.
Mother of Tears is weird as shit, but it's awesome.
Oh yeah.
Hey, Demons Tina's in the chat room.
So good. Oh yeah. Who's in the chat room?
Tina.
Oh, Tina. Hi,
she
Tina.
Says hi.
Hi, Tina. Yay. Thanks for tuning in, Tina. No, I loved Demons so much. Oh, my God. It's just so cheesy. And I had the opportunity to see Goblin perform Suspiria live at the Opera House a couple years ago.
I wanted to go that.
Oh, it was so good. I'm sorry.
Tina apparently says she ugly laugh cries a lot.
Yeah. Oh, good. I'm glad to know I'm not the only one.
I will give you a fun goblin story.
Oh, I love fun goblin stories.
Okay, so Fan Expo, I don't know, maybe about 8 years ago or so. I'm walking around. I'm doing my thing. I'm walking around. It's like, holy shit, there is a lot of people making a loud noise over there. They're doing Dance Dance Revolution or something shit over there. I was like, what the hell? So it's like, okay, I'm going to cut through the Rue Morgue, like when Rue Morgue was actually at Fan Expo. And it's like, okay. And I'm just, what the hell? I start, the guy beside me on the table sitting there, it's like, how the hell did he put up with this shit, man? And it's the drummer from Goblin.
Oh my god!
I didn't know who the hell it was at the moment, so I'm just chatting. I was like, "What the hell? This shit's annoying as shit, isn't it? What do you have?" It's like, "Yeah, no, it's whatever." So it's him and his person with him. I don't know who she was at the moment, but yeah, I was just having a completely unrelated conversation about anything. It's like, "Hey, it's nice meeting you," and then whatever, and then I walked on my way.
Nice.
You know, Tina's apparently been there the whole time, and I think that's your Tina.
Yeah, my Tina's sick. Yeah, yes. She's awesome. I love Tina. She's one of the hardest working, most focused, dedicated, coolest people I've ever met. I always talk about it in relation to Crab Nation, but Crab Nation was born at her bar called Stop, Drop, and Roll. I don't know if you ever went to it. It was amazing. It was a little gem. It was a short pocket of time. It was right above Rancho Relaxo on College at Spadina. And it was one of those punk bars that changed my life. You know, I walked in and I immediately was welcomed by family.
Excellent.
And, you know, it rekindled my friendship with Tina. And, you know, that's where Crap Nation was born. And, you know, she is such a seminal part of my life. We talk every single day. She, Jen, and I, we're always, always on the horn with each other. I can't say enough good things about those two. I love them.
Well, just from watching the Halloweeny special, because that's the only time I've seen Jen or Tina in context, you have met at the release party for Group Hex, the Volume 1. It's like, oh, look at all these people. They're wacky, weird, and wonderful. I love it. all three of you looked like you were happy and having fun, and it's like, that shit's cool. That's actually a good vibe. I liked it.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We really wanted everyone to kind of feel relaxed and have a good time, you know? I probably could have laid off the Pabst Blue Ribbon a little bit more, but
hey, it's a shtick. Go with it.
Absolutely. Well, you know what? It's funny. I had just finished working probably about, I don't know, 30 days straight at that point. I've been doing a lot of, again, Zoom work for Mysterion and the Sentimentalists and stuff like that. So I had been, I had just finished doing a webinar for like 500 people the night before. And we had a, you know, and literally we hopped in, you know, hopped on over and started doing a dress rehearsal for the Crap Nation Halloweeny special. I went to work the next day, came right home and started doing it. So I was just like, you know what? I need a beer.
Yes.
I need a beer to just relax, you know? And it ended up being three beers. And I was having then a great more. Time. What can I say?
Well, yeah, I mean, like I say, it's like I do this for fun. I enjoy it. It's the opportunity to meet other and talk to other people and just experience other things from other people's eyes, ears, brain sets. That's it. You should always enjoy whatever you're doing. Technology is just a gateway drug to being able to achieve joy.
Absolutely. And it's funny. I don't tend to drink very often anymore, but I felt so comfortable with the StreamYard app that I was using. That, you know, with all the presets that I had placed, you know, and all the production prep I'd done, that I was just like, you know what? I feel confident enough to have a beer while I do this. And you know what? I don't have a single corporation or television network coming down on me for doing this because it is our show. We're in the Wild West. So why not?
So that's the great thing about my show right now is that you can swear as much as you like. If EW ever actually gets us on to an actual, because he is trying, it's a Texas-based station, to get on an actual FM brand radio, it's like, oh, crap, then I might have to tune it down a bit. Nah, screw it. I'll swear as much as I want anyways.
Well, and you know, if you think about it this way, we are living in a day and age where a president at one point called an entire country a shithole, and then every single news network around the country used that quote, what's the word? You know, as much as possible. You know, we watched Anderson Cooper say, "Yes, the president called Puerto Rico a shithole." And never in my lifetime did I ever imagine that major news networks would be quoting something as ridiculous as that. And I'm watching this, going, the censors must be going out of their mind. But it's
and
news.
So other pejoratives that he's used are a whole lot worse than that one.
Yeah.
And yet they still get broadcast. And yeah, if you have three, Three F-bombs in a movie, it gets an R rating.
Yep. I remember once I was doing an overnight radio show at Global Groove Networks with my friends, and this was during SARS, and we...
You mean COVID-1?
I'm sorry?
COVID-1?
Yeah, probably COVID-1, but it was 3 a.m, and we just very flippantly said, fuck SARS, and all of a sudden I get a phone call from someone in the CRT saying... Tell me, are you allowed to swear on air? And I'm like, I don't know. Am I? He's like, I'm from the CRTC. You are not allowed to swear. Blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden we got all kinds of shit. Because we said, fuck SARS at 3 a.m. Like the censors, oh, do they listen? Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, we got called into the office and had, a new one torn. Yeah. You're like, oh, my God. I was just like, seriously, like, come on. But, you know, that's kind of how it is.
In that vein, so even with this broadcast software that we're using through this here, there is still a 20-second delay. Okay, so when we talk, there's the opportunity and the ability to hit that buzzer button that says, oh, okay, you can actually say that. By the way, you can say it. It just won't be heard out. Every broadcast software has that in some variation or another.
Oh, cool. Now, is it something where the algorithm listens for a swear or someone manually has to do it?
No, it's just that you'd have to manually do it. It's like, oh, buzz, like that. And you can put that in there. But it's got that 20-second delay or 30-second delay based on the whole, the way that it streams out.
Oh,
I haven't figured out how to do it on mine, because I don't really care.
Yeah, oh, I would hate to be that guy. I'd be swearing while doing it, like, fuck, shit, fuck, da, 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 da.
Yeah. Have you ever, okay. So you know how a Canadian censorship is very specific on a bunch of things for about pornography, right?
Yes.
So I've talked to a couple of people who used to work for the censorship board. Somebody I worked with used to actually work in it. He went a little whatever. But so there are about 10,000 pieces of pornographic material, just video material, that come across the border every year. They have to review every single piece. Now, what they do is they tend to fast forward through all the things and they look for the five basic things, bestiality, children, if somebody's being forced, whatever else. But how insane is it to have to watch all this crap?
Oh, my God.
And just look for those bits.
You know, I would hate to be that person. I would hope that the people that have to do that are getting counseling of some sort.
That part I can't comment on.
Right. And I expect that their sex life probably really sucks.
Probably.
Like, I would not be in the mood. I would come home and be like, honey, I have been looking at double dongs all day. I am not into it.
You know, exactly. Like... or any of a plethora of other particular fetishes that people are into. I don't comment. I don't judge. But yeah, you're going to be at that point where you say, nah, that's not very special or amazing to me. Wait, what's that you said? Yeah, I don't want to know.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I actually had one guy come into my shop the one time and asked me, do you have a book on how to put together implements of torture? You know, like guillotines and stuff like that. And I said,
oh, yeah.
No. That's kind of illegal, isn't it?
Yeah.
But he apparently built guillotines for fun. Which is fine.
Oh, okay. The blade is rubber, I guess, perhaps?
No,
I
don't... it was working. You can have a working guillotine in Canada. It's not against the law. You just can't put somebody in it and kill them with it. That is against... That's very frowned on.
I would say it's very frowned on. You know, it's a very messy affair. Absolutely.
Oh, I wanted to just give somebody a haircut. Shush. I missed.
Oh, my God.
Sorry.
Oops.
It's okay. We can reattach it. We got duct tape.
We'll give you a refund.
Yeah, we'll just take a little bit more off the top next time. Whatever.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I've come to realize that, you know, if it exists, there's probably a fetish for it or a desire to play with it.
What's really creepy is I haven't even considered a lot. And I know that those exist, and I don't want to even try thinking about them because I've heard really weird crap, and it's enough for me to know that there is weirder crap out there than I am ever going to want to know about.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm still really haunted by a horror film I watched back in the spring about really weird crap. It's called Golden Glove. It's about these murders that took place in, I think, Munich. And I'm going to tell you right now, it is not for the faint of heart. The first 3 minutes. Oh my God. I'm still so fucked up by it. I wake up with nightmares about it. It is so harsh. It is a really well done piece of cinema. The writing is fantastic. The storyline is great, but it is disgusting and terrifying and so demented. If that is up your alley, I highly recommend it. But man, make sure you have something happy to do afterwards, because it is dark as fuck. It is dark. Oh my God.
I'll give you a movie that's not dark, but it's splatterific.
Ooh,
and I'm interested. It's topical for next week.
Ooh, okay, what is it?
Thanksgiving.
I love that.
The budget on that movie was only $4,000.
Oh, wow.
It's horrible, but it's funny as shit. And the guys doing it, they know it's bad because they know they have no money. They're just putting their heart into it and just doing the best they can with what they got. And it's hilarious.
I love it. Can I find it on Netflix?
You can find it on Amazon Prime.
Wicked. Okay, I'm going to look for that. And in the meantime, I'm going to encourage you to revisit the movie The House from the 80s. It is so cheesy. It has.
I have both of them.
It's so good. We were watching it again the other night. It's so bad it's good. But I was thinking about it today. I was like, how did he rent all of that tech and set it up himself? I don't think that happened. But I love how, right? I'm like, I dispute that. I love the guy from Night Court is in it. Oh my God, it's so good.
Harry Shannon or whatever I think his name was in Night Court. I can't remember his real name.
He is so good in that. Oh my God, he's great.
I remember good things about that movie. But then I like a lot of bad movies as much as I like a lot of good movies.
Well, me
too. There's a whole range.
There's a whole range. I mean, sometimes you want to be really scared. Sometimes you want to be haunted. Sometimes you just want to sit there and laugh at all the gore.
Deathgasm.
Deathgasm. Terrifier. We laughed at Terrifier.
Oh, I love Terrifier. I'm so happy they're making a sequel.
Oh yeah, we have a friend who is in it. I can't say anything more than that, but we're so excited about it. It's going to be so gory. I'm so excited.
The scene where he takes the chick's front chest and starts wearing and dancing around—it's like, oh my God, that's horrible, but it's awesome. I love stuff like that.
Oh yeah, it's so wrong, and I mean it takes a certain understanding of horror to be able to sit there and laugh. To a layperson who doesn't know horror films, they might think that you're completely demented and should be locked up.
Nobody should be in a cinema with me watching a horror film, science fiction film, or any other film that has really bad things happening to people, because I laugh uproariously.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Wizard of Oz.
The what?
I laughed my ass off when the scary-ass flying monkeys came out from the Wicked Witch, and it's like, I'm laughing, they're screaming, I'm howling, and I'm still a kid at this point.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Yeah. Well, my first introduction to a horror movie was Children Shouldn't Play with Dead Things.
Oh, wow. How old were you?
I'm a wee bit old.
Well, like, were you 4 years old, 5 years old?
No, I think I was 12 or 15 or something like that around that time frame.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm in the 50s right now, so it's...
All right. Well,
I think that movie came out in the 70s.
Nice. You know what? I'm 44 and a half, and I wear that with a badge of honor. I worked really hard to get here. So I'm constantly bragging about my age because I'm like, what did you do to survive?
I lived.
Yeah, it's like, what have you been through? Let me tell you. My introduction to horror actually was by accident. And again, we grew up with a black and white television, so everything was black and white. So everything looked like, you know, a universal horror or universal monster horror picture. I had come into the living room and my parents were watching this horror film. And I turned right as Billy Glick sits up in the coffin and bites the gravedigger's neck. And I think I'm about 5 or 6 years old, and all of a sudden my parents are like, oh, carting me out. And I'm like, what's going on?
That only makes you want to see more.
Right. I remembered those eyes. And for years and years and years, I remembered the few different scenes because I would walk back in to the living room to see what else was going on. And they were like, go to bed. I'm like, but I don't want to. Years later, I watched Salem's Lot in color. And I remembered all of those scenes, like frame for frame. It just imprinted on me so much. And I mean, the movie was pretty cheesy. But let me tell you, to this day, when I look out the window, I look for a vampire knocking to be let in. for Billy Blixton. I do.
That's probably a safe thing, because you never know. Nowadays, there's all kinds of weirdos out there.
No, it's true. You just don't invite anyone in your house anymore. Just don't do it.
Yeah, I'm not letting anybody in my place if I can avoid that. Oh,
heck no. I know.
Japanese splatter horror movies.
Ooh.
Tokyo Gore Police is probably the most famous one.
I don't think I've seen that one, actually. I know there's like Train to Busan and stuff like that. I haven't actually
That's
had
Korean.
The opportunity to watch. Is it Korean? Okay, see, and
yeah.
My familiarity with those is not very good.
Okay, well, there are distinctive differences. Train to Busan is an awesome movie. Train to Busan Presents Peninsula is a much better action movie than it is a horror movie, but it's still fun. But yeah, Japanese splatter movies are a specific subgenre that are like, how many buckets of blood do we got on this movie? We need more.
You know, the only one I ever saw was Battle Royale, and that was pretty cool.
Ooh, that's an awesome movie.
Yeah, it was
sequel
really
less
cool.
So, but the original one was awesome.
Okay, so maybe I need to start watching more because, yeah, I appreciate the special effects of gore so well. Like, it's not easy. It's not easy to do.
There's a movie called Dracula Girl versus Frankenstein Girl. And there's a scene where the main vampire girl, who's basically the daughter of Dracula or Dracula reincarnated, whatever, she just twists somebody's head right off and nothing but geysers of blood and a whole blood rain thing going on. It's like, that is so impossible, but it's hilarious.
I love it. Well, ooh. That's the thing.
Yes.
Oh, no, that's okay. You go.
Robo-Geisha.
That's a great name.
It's terrible, but it's awesome. I can't help it.
Well, now I'm going to have to watch all of these, and I will give you my full review.
Okay. I can give you great movies, terrible movies, and what the... Most of the movies I like are what the...
Okay. Well, I'm pretty open-minded, you know. my poor brain is like done.
There's so much out there. I mean, I'm doing a bit of a research project on all movies released that are under horror. There's about 1,000 new horror movies released every year for like the last 20 years.
Wow.
Yeah, there's a lot out there. Not all of it's good. Like, there's a movie called Bigfoot versus Zombies. I swear to God, the budget was $1,000 or whatever. And it's like, you can see the zipper on this guy's outfit as Bigfoot. But they obviously had fun doing it. So, I mean, there's a thing. Yeah. But yeah, you got like Z-grade movies and then you got your top-of-the-line Hollywood movies, which realistically, good horror movies are never Hollywood movies because blah.
It's true. I mean, I appreciate a good jump scare, but when it's all jump scare, it's just, it's not as impressive to me. I like films that will stay with me later, you know, where I think about it months later and I'm still chilled, you know?
Great zombie movie? REC.
REC. I've heard of that.
As in the record button.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
Awesome.
Nice. Okay, we'll have to check that one out as well.
Yes.
What was I going to say? We've recently actually been watching a lot of the Hammer horror films.
Oh, love Hammer.
Oh, they're so good. They're so classic, right? I mean, Christopher Lee will always be my vampire. Like, he'll always be my Dracula. I remember when I was, I think, 9 years old, maybe 10 years old, and my sister and I checked out this horror book from the library, and it was all green tones in the photos and like neon red blood, and I remember I would open up the picture, see Christopher Lee, and slam it down. I'd be so scared, so excited, like, oh my god, I love it, oh my God. Like, I would go and open it up and put it back down again. And it would be all the Hammer Horror characters, you know, Van Helsing and the Bride of Dracula. And we've just recently started watching it again because it's so simple, but so amazing.
Very basic character plots and everything, but they're effective because they still hold true.
Absolutely. And I like how with the character plots, they kind of go off the rails by the end and they're just like, ah, just see the end. Okay. And you're like,
not to be confused with that movie reboot thing that came out a couple years ago with What's His Nut?
The movie reboot.
The Mummy.
Oh, right.
What's His Nut? Dude Brandon from Fraser. Top Gun. No, that was good. The other one that came out. Dude from Top Gun. Yeah.
Tom Cruise. I never saw
that's it.
Yeah, no, I did not see that one.
Save your money.
Okay.
Don't pay to see it.
Okay, I will not waste my time.
Yes. It's got some okay points. The idea had a good kernel, but they overbaked it.
Okay, that's good to know. Okay.
To keep with the mythologies. Yes. So,
I think at the end of the day, everybody just needs to tune in and watch our horror show tomorrow night. I think that's absolutely the most important thing.
How do they catch that again?
So again, if you go to eshowticket.com, you can buy your ticket. It is a Zoom show, so you would get your code and you log in. It starts at 10 p.m. sharp. And it's called The Haunting of Leanne, and it's about a haunted doll. And that's all I'm going to say. And again, there's a lot of paranormal activity happening around it. And it is, you know, not for the faint of heart. So I wouldn't recommend watching it with children.
Oh, come on. That's the best thing to watch with is children when they start screaming and stuff.
True. Well, we have some disclaimers. So if you choose to watch it with your children, you know, that is not our problem.
I can checkmark that box.
But I'm really excited for this show. I'm learning a lot of new tricks as an artist. And Mysterion, of course, is an amazing mentalist and performer. If you've never seen him perform, I can't brag about him enough. Not just because I love the shit out of him, but because I really respect his art as well. And I think as an artist, you need to surround yourself by people that you are inspired by and that you admire. And he is someone worthy of your attention. And you'll see my artistic hand. You know, I'm invisible for the show, but the things that are happening, I'm responsible for.
Chris Mysterion is awesome at everything I've seen him do. He's an amazing personality from whatever he's on screen, on stage, or whatever.
Oh my God, go check out his TikTok. It's amazing.
One more thing to check out.
Oh, I know. Sorry, I'm such a promoter. I can't help myself. I'm always promoting and pushing people that I love and believe
absolutely.
In. Absolutely. You know, and it's reflex. I cannot help it. You know, I think the more the merrier.
This is why I knew you were going to be good on the show, because I know you're one of these positive supporter types, people. And it's like, that's awesome. That's what people need to do more of and less of this whole, I don't like it. Well, it's okay to say you don't like something. It's just a whole nother thing to make it the whole basis of your life to say, I hate all this stuff. I hate all that crap. Have a cookie. Relax.
Yeah. And you know what? Have an edible and relax. God damn it.
There are some cookies too.
That's all kinds. There are cookies too, yes.
There are cookies I would never touch. They have like kelp and kale and stuff like that. It's just, that's no way in hell that's going to happen to come into my body.
Does that actually qualify as a cookie?
No, not in my book. But I've heard people who say it is. And it's like, no.
No. There needs to be some chocolate. Yeah, there needs to be some sugar. Yeah.
Not that fake sugar crap either. If ants want to eat it when it sits on the ground, that's a cookie. If ants don't want to eat it when it's sitting on the ground, it's not a cookie.
That is a really good litmus test. I like that.
It's what I work with. Damn ants. It's always trying to eat my cookies.
So basically what you're saying is the next time someone offers me a cookie, I should toss it to the ground and wait.
Oh, yeah. No, you should just eat it.
Okay, I'll just eat it.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like Weird Al Yankovic said, eat it.
Oh my God. Don't get me started on Weird Al. I love him so much. Oh, my God.
Well, he is an awesome dude.
He's so awesome. I would have an impossible time acting casual if I was in the same room as him. Oh my God, I can't even begin to tell you. Like, he's so good. I love him.
I just had to check to make sure I was recording this show. Yes, I am. Good.
If anyone's listening, I love Weird Al. He's on my bucket list. He is someone I would love to have a chat with someday because he's just amazing.
Absolutely.
And I could spend another hour just talking about Weird Al.
not tonight, but no. That's always an opportunity later in life.
Well, I firmly believe that, you know, as an artist and entertainer, if Weird Al is making fun of you, you've made it.
Absolutely. I would agree with that.
Yeah. It is a dream of mine for him to make fun of me, you know, even just for a verse. Oh my God. If I saw him in a green wig on a video, I would lose my shit. I would lose my shit. I'd be like, okay, I'm done. I don't need to do anything else. I have reached my highest achievement. Weird Al has made fun of me.
Yes.
And I would just be able to tell him, be like, I don't need to do any more work. I'm done. That's
well,
my Oscar.
I think that is a good litmus test as well. Yes, I would agree with that.
In fact, I'm just going to start harassing Weird Al right now to wear a green wig.
Yes, and you should get everybody who's listening to do the exact same thing.
Oh, his management would hate me. They'd be like, go away.
It probably goes into a circular bin that gets reviewed once in a blue moon.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I think they would lose my number very fast.
So I see one other quick thing that I mentioned that we didn't talk about. Something Strange 2021?
Yes. For those of you who don't know about Something Strange, it is a showcase of sideshow talent, all across North America, sometimes international. This would be the fifth year in a row that we are doing it. We're not sure what's happening with it right now because of the pandemic. We were supposed to do it at the Mod Club Theater, but of course, you know, plans have changed. And with COVID, things are always changing. So it's on a stay tuned basis. We're really, it will happen in some way. We're probably going to be broadcasting it via Zoom as well. So stay tuned. We're in production mode. You know, I'm going to be co-hosting it this year. So it's going to be, you know, a little more of a three-ring circus, but very fun at the same time. We're really kind of getting our ducks in a row, but having contingency plans. So stay tuned. You can always go to Something Strange on Facebook. You can always, you know, message me at Planet Lisdom. Find a way. We'll make sure that everybody knows we're huge promoters, and you will see something about it sometime soon. So it
when
will
you
happen.
Said the ducks, I was going to start quacking, but it's like, no, I'll let her finish.
Quack. I wouldn't be offended. Quack, quack.
So, how do people find you in specific methodologies on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Planet Lisdom, Crap Nation, Dr. M's Mad Mausoleum?
So yeah, I think the most straightforward way, because I could give you 12 different URLs or, you know, addresses. You can find me at Planet Lisdom on Facebook or on Instagram. Those are the two platforms that I'm on the most. For Crap Nation, Crap Nation on Facebook or Crap Nation on Instagram. And the rest of it, you know, if you're interested and you need a link, or you can always find it through those different social medias. And if you have any questions, just drop me a line. I'm very good at getting back to people. And I hope that what we're doing is interesting to you and exciting. And we're always open to feedback and conversation.
But not the kind of feedback that sounds really loud and noisy and go, ah!
Oh, heck no. I deal with that on
the microphone
all the time.
Speaker.
Yes. Oh, it's the worst. Oh, yeah. No.
Well, I've got an alarm tone over there that I can hit that would sound a lot light worse than that, but I won't do that. No, you wouldn't hear it. Just everybody listening would.
Oh, okay. Wow. Well, on behalf of everybody, thank you.
Well, Liz, thank you once again for coming on the show and brightening up the evening with your vivacity and energy.
Thank you so much for having me. You're such a pleasure to talk to. Absolutely.
Well, thank you. And
I was going to say, anytime you want to have another chat, let me know.
Okay, well, that's what I'm planning on doing a lot more of with this show, is just having people on more and like take one or two episodes every once in a while and just do my own crazy shit. But then I want people on.
For sure.
Ooh, maybe one day we can have the whole group of you on.
I was just going to recommend that. Get out of my head. Yes, no, that would be amazing. Absolutely.
Well, I am psychotic, and, you know, so.
Well, and, you know, likewise, we would love to have you on Crap Nation Television sometime. So, you know, I'll have my people call your people and my zombies call your zombies. And
you got people? I don't got people. I keep eating them.
Oh, yeah. No, you know what? It's the turnaround time is really hard when you eat people.
I know. Yeah, like, the training and then the seasoning and everything.
It's not good for human resources. Yeah.
It's a renewable resource, though.
It is. But
there's,
you know,
so many to choose from.
That's true. It is a buffet.
A cornucopia of possibility.
It is true.
I like big words. So, let's wrap up this show then with everybody in the chat room and the various streams that listen to this stuff and everything else, have yourselves an amazing after rotten good time. Thanks for coming out. Come back again every Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, or whatever the hell time that relates to for you, because I don't know where the hell you are in the world. Have fun. Enjoy. Be well. Stay safe. Do all those fun things that make people happy and stuff. And check out Liz. The wisdom from the Lizdom, Tina, yep, and Jen, the Crap Nation, Mysterion, and Dr. M's Mad Mausoleum.
If you go down in the woods today, you're sure of a big surprise. If you go down in the woods today, you'd better go in disguise. For every bear that ever there was will gather there for certain, because today's the day the teddy bears have their picnic. Teddy bear who's been good is sure of a treat today. There's lots of marvelous things to eat and wonderful games to play. Beneath the trees where nobody sees, they'll hide and seek as long as they please. That's the way the teddy bears have their picnic. Picnic time for teddy bears. The little teddy bears are having a lovely time today. Watch them, catch them unawares, and see them picnic on their holiday. See them gaily gad about, they love to play and shout, they never have any cares. At 6 o'clock their mummies and daddies will take them home to bed, 'cause they're tired little teddy bears. If you go down in the woods today, you'd better not go alone. It's lovely down in the woods today, but safer to stay at home. For every bear that ever there was will gather there for certain, because today's the day the teddy bears have their picnic.